If you have your Bibles, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, we are studying spiritual warfare. The moment that we become a child of God, we become a soldier of Christ. And we need to remember that tonight, that we are soldiers. And that does not automatically make us a good soldier. It only equips us to win the battle against Satan and his forces. And so we have to, it's our responsibility to appropriate and use the equipment that God has furnished us to fight a good fight of faith. And so we have a huge responsibility in this warfare. It's not all on God. I mean, God's the one that ultimately fights our battles. He's the one that gives us the victory. But we have to take responsibility and put on this armor. And so we're going to look tonight at our next piece of equipment, and that is the shield of faith. The shield of faith. And so we're going to ask, first of all, tonight, what is this shield of faith? Let's go ahead and read the text in verse 16, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 16. Paul says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So as he's in talking about putting on the whole armor of God, he tells us here to put on or to take the shield of faith. What is this shield of faith? What is this shield? Tonight I want to kind of just give you some insight into what this shield is. The Roman shield, when you go back and you study back during this time period, the Roman shield, there were actually two kinds of shields that they would use. There was one that was a small round shield that was called the buckler. But Paul is not talking about the buckler type shield in this particular verse. In fact, he's talking about this oblong, large shield that's about 2.5 feet wide and 4.5 feet long. So it's almost like a full body shield. I mean, it would, 4.5 feet, we're looking like this tall and about this wide. And so by the time you lift it up and you're looking over the top, it's covering the entire body. It's a full body shield. And it comes from this word that Paul uses here. It comes from the word thurios, which comes from the word thorough, which means door. And so this shield was like a door. It was so large. It was just like a door. And it would be made of wood. And it had a curved surface. It would be curved, and it would be overlaid with very thick, heavy leather. And many times on top of the leather, there would be metal as well. And so this shield would be able to absorb the impact of these arrows, these fiery darts that Paul talks about. Now remember, Ephesians was written while Paul was in prison in Rome. So he was sitting there in a hired house, and there were soldiers there, four soldiers overseeing Paul. And so he was watching these soldiers day by day, and he looked at their equipment, and he teaches us some spiritual lessons about spiritual warfare. So as he was considering this shield that the soldiers use, he compares it to our faith. And but I want to just before we get to the second thing talking about faith, I want to continue talking about this shield. If you'll look in Psalm 5 and verse 12, kind of got ahead of myself, but looking, here's a picture just of the Roman shield. You can see the soldier hiding behind it, so it's a pretty large shield. It's like a almost like a door, you can see that. But I want you to look at this next picture. This is pretty neat. I'm going to talk about this one in just a minute. But here in Psalm 5, verse 12, he says, "Thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him, or compass him as with a shield. And so I want you to notice this, where it talks about the Lord compassing us as a shield. And so I believe this is what we see in the picture. The shield completely covers the body. It encompasses around the soldier, providing full protection of the body. I mean, you know, think about it. If we do not have this shield, you know, even though we might have on the breastplate of righteousness, even though we might have on that belt of truth, you know, there are some vulnerable places without that shield. We can get shot in the knee. And Satan wants to do that. You know, our knee, what does our knee speak of in the spiritual life? Prayer. You know, Satan, he wants to get us off our knees. He wants to stop us from praying. Prayer is a great part of spiritual battle. But, you know, so this shield is very, very important, and it encompasses about the entire body of the soldier. The edges of this shield would sometimes be beveled where they could interlock with one another. And what these soldiers would do is, you can see in this picture here, they would line up together, and the ones in the front, they would interlock their shields together, providing a wall, a defensive wall. And those that are in the rows behind, you can see their shield they put up on top of their helmet, and it locks on their helmet from helmet to helmet. And so they have a defense against those fiery darts that come flying over from the enemy. And this is one way that the Romans were able to charge and attack the enemy. You know, this is very important. And I think if we apply this to the Christian life, it's very important. Think of what our church could do if we all together took this shield of faith. And united faith going into the battle with this enemy, think of what we can do. You know, often I think the reason why I brought this picture up is because often we look at this as an individual battle. We look at this passage of Scripture and we don't think about it in terms of our brothers and sisters in Christ. We don't think of it in terms of our church. We think of it as an individual, that I'm going to go out there and fight this battle on my own. But you know what? We as a church need to fight together. We need each other. We need to fight together this battle against Satan. We need to lock together our shields of faith and march forward against our enemy. You know, I want to remind you that, you know, a wounded soldier is not a dead soldier. There are some wounded soldiers in the Christian battle. They get shot with the fiery darts of the wicked. What do we do? What is our response to these wounded soldiers in our church? Should we just go over there and kick them in the ribs and you know, and make them feel even more guilty? Man, you should have had your shield of faith. You know, I think what we need is to use that first aid of compassion. Use that first aid of forgiveness. Knowing that could be us. That could be us that was shot and wounded. You know, Christians are known for, you've heard it many times, for shooting their own wounded. You know, what do soldiers do? I mean, we have some soldiers here tonight. You know, when there's a wounded soldier, you go and aid that soldier. You go and help that soldier. You bring that soldier back to a place where he can be healed. You don't leave the soldier there to die. And, you know, we need to take that into thought as well. As not, you know, so it's not just about us. It's not just an individual battle. It's not just about you, or it's not just about me. We're all in this battle together as a church, as a body. And so when we have a soldier in our body that is wounded, we need to help that wounded soldier. We don't leave them out there just to be overcome with guilt and let the enemy just destroy them. So we have to unite together. And so let's look at the second question I have here. What is faith? Because he says the shield of faith. So we've looked at this shield. We see what kind of shield it is. And now What is faith? Because he says, taking the shield of faith. You know, faith can be defined simply as belief and trust. Belief and trust. It is believing and trusting God. And I believe both of those elements have to be there for it to be faith. That's what makes faith different than belief. Because it's belief and trust. It's like believing God. I believe what God said in His Word. I believe His promise. I believe what He's told me to do in His Word. I believe it. No matter what the devil says. Though the devil's saying, yea, had God said. No, I don't want to listen to the devil. I believe what God says. And I trust what God says. So those two things together is what comprises faith. You know, there was a preacher, he asked a poor old woman, he said, what is faith? And she said, well, she said, I'm ignorant and I'm not sure that I can answer well, but I think faith is taking God at His word. That's pretty good, isn't it? That's what it is. Just taking God at His word, believing and trusting God's word. I was reading another story about a missionary that traveled to the South Seas. To this island tribe, and he was working on Bible translation. And he could not find a word in their vocabulary for faith. He searched and searched, and they just did not have a word for faith. And so one day, as he was sitting there, one of the nationals came in after a long journey and just plopped down in a chair. And that national said in his own tongue, his native tongue, he said, it sure feels good to rest my full weight on this chair. And then a light came on. And the missionary, he now had a way to explain faith in that language. And this is how he explained faith. Resting your full weight on God. Resting your full weight on God. You know, think about it tonight. We're saved by faith alone. In Christ alone. That's how we are saved from our sin. It's when we believe that Christ died for our sins, that He was buried, that the third day He rose again, and we trust Him to save our soul. We trust Him to forgive our sins. That's what salvation is. And Christ, He is the author and finisher of our faith. Christ is our shield. He's our shield. And so in one sense, as we look at this, remember all these pieces of armor, we said they represent Christ in one way. And so this shield of faith, it represents Christ. He is our shield. He is the object of our faith. He is the author of our faith. He is the finisher of our faith. He is our shield. And I believe that, however, here the Apostle Paul is more focusing on our responsibility, the practical side of our faith. But I want to show you two verses that I believe that Paul combines these two thoughts. The first one is Psalm 18, verse 30. And it says this, as for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. So the word buckler here is shield. He's a shield for all those that trust in Him. But you'll notice here those two concepts that, you know, it talks about the word of the Lord. And it talks about trusting in Him. That's the practical side. We trust in Him. We trust in His word. Because what? His way is perfect. And then as a result, He becomes our shield. God is our shield. And I like this verse because when he says His way is perfect, you know, Satan, when he shoots those fiery darts, one of the ones he uses the most is doubt. He gets us to question and doubt God's goodness. It may be that we're down in the valley, we're just really having a difficult time in our life, and we're just struggling, wondering, God, do you even care? Do you even listen? Do you even know what's going on in my life? Listen, His way is perfect. Amen. We don't understand it. We don't have to understand. We just have to believe it. Just believe it. I'm going to believe that God's way is perfect. And I'm going to trust Him. Because right now I can't see it. But one day when I get through the end, I'm going to see it. And I'm going to understand. But right now I just have to believe His word. I just have to believe God's way is perfect. And His word has been tried. It doesn't fail. His, You know, I like the word of the Lord. Notice what he says. He said, it's tried. You know what that means? It's been tested. And you know what? When he's been tested, it's been found that he's true and he's faithful. So just trust him. Believe him and trust him. And guess what? It says he will be a buckler. He'll be a shield to you. The second one is this. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. Think about that. There's no fault in it. There's no corruption. There's nothing wrong with our Bible. There's nothing wrong with God's promises. The devil says, yeah, God said. Yeah, he did say. He did say it. And it says, he is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. He's a shield. So God is our shield. How does he become our shield? When we believe in him, we trust in him. We put our faith in him. So we have to beware of faltering faith. Having a faltering faith, a faith that is faltering. When we begin to doubt God, you know, that's what I believe Paul's talking about here, because he says, and above all, taking the shield of faith, take it. You know what he's saying? He said, you know, you better not set this thing down. You better not let your guard down. How do we let it down? When our faith falters. When we walk out the door without faith, when we walk out the door just discouraged, saying, I just don't know how I'm going to do it. We lack that faith in God that it's going to be okay. God's going to take care of us. God's going to come through. He's going to meet his promises. And so don't let your faith falter. Take that shield of faith. Don't let your guard down. If you do, you're going to be opening yourself up for the enemy to attack. And we got to also beware of a feigned faith. A feigned faith. You know what that is? False faith. Fake. Fake faith. You know, if your faith is not real, it's going to be like a cardboard shield. You're going to hold that cardboard shield up, and guess what? Those fiery darts are going to go right through it. It's going to burn that shield right up. You know, you've got to have a real living faith in Jesus Christ. Your faith's got to be real. It's not the amount of faith you have. It's the object of your faith that matters. It's got to be in truth. It's got to be based on Christ. You know, it shouldn't be based on feelings and emotion. It's got to be based on facts. You know, you hear people say, I just have faith. This is just going to work out. I just have faith. Faith in what? Faith in what? You know, like I said, the object is what's important. Put your faith in God. Trust in him. Trust in his word. He will never fail you. I read a poem I want to share with you. It said three men were walking on a wall. Feeling, faith, and fact. That's the name of the three men. Feeling, faith, and fact. And it says, when feeling took an awful fall and faith was taken back, so close was faith to feeling, he stumbled and fell too. But faith remained and pulled faith back, and faith brought feeling too. Shall I say it again? When feeling took an awful fall and faith was taken back, so close was faith to feeling, he stumbled and fell too. But fact remained and pulled faith back, and faith brought feeling too. So fact is, that's this right here. Fact. Truth is not going to fall. Your feelings will fall. And, you know, feeling, it's saying that faith was so close to feeling. You know, that's what I'm saying. Don't put your faith in your feelings. When your feelings fall, guess what? Your faith falls. But it said fact remained. It still was standing there. So what happened? Fact pulled faith back up. And then feeling followed. So when your faith is in facts of the Word of God, guess what? There will be feelings. Yeah, there will be feelings, but don't put your faith in your feelings. You know, I read a story that at the close of the Second World War, the Allied forces were searching through homes, and they were found this basement where there had been a Jewish man or a family there that were hiding. but they became victims of the Holocaust. Well, scratched into the wall of that basement were these words: I believe in the sun, even when it does not shine. I believe in love, even when it is not shown. And I believe in God, even when he does not speak. That's faith. Faith. What are these fiery darts of the wicked? That's the third thing here. What are the fiery darts of the wicked? You know, in those days, they would wrap arrows with cloth. They would dip the cloth in pitch, which was like a tar. They would set it afire, and they would shoot it. And so when that arrow would hit the target, that tar would splatter and set everything on fire, everything that it touched. You know, here, Paul, he says the fiery darts of the wicked. The wicked refers to Satan and his servants. You know, these fiery darts that Satan launches against us is usually temptation. It can be temptation to immorality, temptation to hatred, to envy, to anger, to covetousness, fear, doubt, pride. You name it. We all have lust and desires within us that are easily ignited. And Satan tempts us. You know, today Satan works in many ways. You know, it's sad today. You know, Satan is shooting these arrows out there, telling people, you know, young couples, you know, it's okay to live together before marriage. There's nothing wrong with it. But you know what? God's Word says otherwise. We have to stand on the Word of God. We have to believe the truth. You know, we could go and give many, many other examples, but there, you know, you get the point. You know, Satan, when he shoots these fiery darts, he can shoot them from afar. And they can come unexpectedly. Think about it. Unexpected. That's why you have to take the shield of faith. They can come quick, without warning. They can cause great pain and damage if they hit their target. Sometimes they come one at a time, or other times in just a heavy hail of arrows. You know, I was reading this story about this one soldier. His name is Scaba, I believe, if I'm pronouncing it right. But they said that on his shield, they counted over 200 arrows. Can you imagine? I mean, he was hiding behind that shield, and after the battle, there were over 200 arrows in his shield. Just think about it. Satan is going to attack us daily. He's going to attack us when we're up on the mountain, when we're down in the valley. He's going to launch attacks. We don't know when. You know, you're walking through the valley. He may be up there where you can't see him, and he's going to shoot. Make sure you have your shield. Make sure you have your shield of faith. Because the Bible says here, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench. What's that next word? All the fiery darts of the wicked. I'm glad for that. All of them. When we take this shield of faith, guess what? Satan cannot defeat us. No strategy of Satan, no tactic of Satan, no device of Satan can defeat this shield of faith. It cannot. It's only when we set it down that he can attack us. Let's look at the next main point, and the importance of this shield of faith. The importance of this shield of faith. You know, many Christians, well, I got ahead of myself. Let's look at this verse once again. What's that first two words? Verse 16. Above all. So he's talking about the breastplate of righteousness, the being girded about with truth and having your feet shod, preparation of the gospel of peace. But he says, above all, taking the shield of faith. I would think that means this is one of the most important pieces right here. Above all, you better get this one. Because you know what? That shield, as you saw the picture, that shield, it not only protected the entire body of the soldier, it protected his head, it protected his chest, his knees, his feet, it protected his whole body, but it also protected the armor that was behind that. It protected everything. And you think about it, in the Bible, faith is the first grace in the Christian life. It is the first grace. It is the foundation of every other grace in the Christian life. I want you to look in 2 Peter real quick. 2 Peter chapter 1, and I want you to look in verse 5. 2 Peter 1 verse 5. In verse 1, he talks about those that have obtained like precious faith. And then in verse 5, he says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness charity. So what is it? Add to your faith. Faith is the first. It's the first line of defense in this battle against Satan. Because think about it, it's by faith that we're born again. Faith in Jesus. And we're to walk by faith. Faith is that first line of defense. And if you think about it, when you put on the belt of truth, what are you doing? You're exercising faith in the truth. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Thy word is truth. You're putting faith in that. When you put that belt of truth on, when you put on that breastplate of righteousness, what are you doing? You're exercising faith in Christ who is our righteousness. When you put on those gospel shoes, you're exercising faith in the gospel of Christ who is our peace. The importance of faith in our spiritual warfare is seen here being compared to a shield. And you think about this story. There's a story of a Spartan, his mother. And I want you to listen to what she said to her son. And you see that? It says, take care that you return with your shield or upon it. Take care that you return with your shield or upon it. You know, the shield was big enough to be carrying a body on that shield. They could carry the body of a soldier on that shield. But what this meant was, most important of all, come home with your shield. Your shield is so important. Don't leave it. Bring it home. And, you know, I want to just say for the Christian, let's look at it spiritually. Don't leave home without your faith. Don't leave home without your faith. Don't come home without your faith. Walk by faith. Die by your faith. Live by your faith. It's so important. Faith is important. The last thing I want to share with you is this. What the shield of faith will not protect us from. You know, and I want to share this because a lot of Christians get disappointed and disillusioned in their life because they have these expectations about how God's going to work in their life. And when trials hit their life, when their faith is tested, they get disappointed. They're like, what happened, you know? Because you can hear some preachers on the radio or on TV preaching, you know, this prosperity gospel. You know, you believe in Christ, it's going to all be better. You're going to get health, wealth, and prosperity and all these things. And so when people believe Christ and that don't happen, they're like, what happened? What's wrong? Did God fail me? And what, you know, is it something wrong with me? Something wrong with my faith? And so I want to just share some of these things. And we really, I think most of us here, we know these things. But I just want to remind you, our faith does not shield us from physical suffering. You know, I don't care what the prosperity people say. You know, sometimes it's God's will for you to suffer physically. You know, these prosperity people say it is never God's will for you to suffer. That you are to be, that healing is in that atonement, physical healing, and so you should be healed, never sick. But yet, one of the prosperity gospel preachers that preached that very truth all these years and fleeced all these people their money, guess what? When he came down with cancer, what did he do? He went to the doctor, started taking cancer treatment. Hey, that's not God's will for you to be like that. What's wrong? What's wrong with your faith? Listen, faith doesn't shield us from suffering. Remember Paul in 2 Corinthians 11. If we had time, you could read about all the things Paul suffered. Go to Hebrews chapter 11, just for a moment. Hebrews 11. This is a faith chapter, talking about all these heroes of faith. And in verse 36, he said, "And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented." You know, not everybody gets delivered. You know, sometimes, you know, God allows us to go through suffering. I don't know why, but God does. And that's how he builds our faith. That's how he strengthens our faith. That's how he brings glory to himself. You know, you look at some of the examples in the Bible. Why was the man born blind, and why did Jesus heal him? It was for the glory of God. You know, it says it's because sin. Is his parents sin, or because he sinned? Jesus said, no, it's not because they sinned. It's because of the glory of God. He was blind for the glory of God. I believe I lost my hearing, was deaf for the glory of God. Amen. You know, God had plan. God had purpose. God had a reason. So faith doesn't shield us from physical suffering. Faith doesn't shield us from the loss of earthly possessions. You know, we may lose everything. You never know. We take for granted what we have. A fire could destroy everything we have. A tornado. Not just a natural disaster, but our country could just continue to just go downhill, and we could lose everything because we're Christians and we're standing for Jesus, and we may go to prison. Our faith doesn't shield us from those things. It doesn't shield us from the loss of possessions. The third one is it doesn't shield us from grief. You know, we will experience grief in this life. We will lose loved ones. You know, I know some very, very good Christian people that lost one of their loved ones that were not talking that was old, but was young. And they both served the Lord. I think about a missionary just a couple of years ago. I remember this couple very well. They came to our church in Dalhart. They were such a blessing. It was the Wesson family. Do y'all remember them? And when they were at our church, we lived in the old parsonage on Pine Street. And we were remodeling this upstairs for Rachel and Becky. Because we kept having kids, we kept needing more bedrooms. And so, anyhow, this missionary couple, they wanted to stay and help us. And he worked many, many hours up there on that room up there, painting, taping, mudding, different things. Well, a couple of years ago, he's a missionary in Dominican Republic, and they were on a youth. He was out with some youth boys doing something and, you know, spending some time with them, and they were swimming in the ocean, and they got swept out. And he went out to rescue. And I think he actually saved a couple of the boys, but one of them, the last one he went after, they both died. They both drowned. And, you know, you think, why, Lord? Because, you know, they had children, sweet wife, and they're serving the Lord. They're faithful to God. And I just read yesterday that I don't know who Joel Wesson is, but I'm thinking it could be his brother or his dad or something. But shared that they were in a car accident just yesterday, and he was air back to somewhere. And so I'm thinking that family that's you know, they have children that serve God, and they're faithful servants, and, you know, you don't understand. Faith doesn't shield us from grief. It doesn't shield us from those things. But what he says it shields us from in the Scripture is from all the fiery darts of the wicked. That's what it shields us from. All the fiery darts of the wicked. You know, faith will not stop Satan's attacks from coming. It's not going to stop them from coming. He's going to launch many fiery darts our way, but the only way we can prevent them from hurting us is with the shield of faith. The shield of faith. The only way we can overcome is faith in God. Trust Him. Believe His Word. There's a verse, I'm going to close with this. 1 John 5:4. Look at this verse. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We can overcome all these things by our faith. Our faith will save us. Our faith will strengthen us. Our faith will stabilize us. No matter what we're going through, don't forget that shield of faith. Don't forget. You know, if you want to increase your faith, the Bible tells us faith cometh by what? Hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Our faith is strengthened by getting into the Word of God, studying, memorizing the Word of God. Believe it. Trust it. Trust God. Going through a trial, you don't know what to do, get in the Bible. Get in the Bible and start praying. Say, God, I'm discouraged. I'm broken. Show me something. And God will. And when He shows you some verses, it's going to bless your heart. It's going to encourage you. And you can claim those promises and God will come through. And you can quench those fiery darts of the wicked. Well, let's stand. We're going to pray. Father, we're so grateful that You've given us everything that we need to be able to stand against all the wiles of the devil. You've given us everything we need to be strong in the Lord. And Father, I just pray that You would help us above all to take this shield of faith, to realize how important our faith is, that we not have a feigned faith, a faith that is fake, a faith that is not real. But I pray that You'd help each of us examine our faith, whether we be in the faith, whether we're born of God. And as we've seen in the Scripture that we just read, those that are born of God overcome the world. It's through our faith in You, faith in Jesus. And we thank You for that victory that You've given us through our faith. And Father, I pray that You would help our faith not to falter. I know that sometimes we get really down and hurt by the circumstances in our lives, by the things that we cannot control. But God, help us. Help us to put our faith in You, to trust in You through these storms, that You would be glorified. And I pray in Jesus' name. Before we leave, we got something special. Curtis is going to, we're going to sing Happy Birthday because we've got Miss Heidi's birthday and we've got my wife's birthday. And we have some other people's birthday. It's Kathy's. It was Mary Green's birthday as well yesterday. We got a lot of birthdays, but after the service, guess what? We have a surprise party down the hall in Taos. We have some desserts, so don't leave. Go down there and fellowship. All right, Curtis, you lead us.